Welcome back to another week on the podcast. So today I'm going to talk about running, how to start running and how to enjoy it, because I feel like we've all been there at some point in school where they make you do cross country or they make you do sports day and you're just dreading it and you think, I hate running, it's the worst thing ever in the world. And believe me, I've been that person. But now I'd arguably say that probably it's my favorite form of exercise at the moment. So there are ways to approach it in which you'll find that you're a lot better at it than you expect, and also that you enjoy it a lot more than you expected to. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, you will feel a bit more geared up and ready to give it a go. By all means, you don't have to run. There's no reason why anyone has to run. And if you have an injury or if you have problems with your joints, maybe it's not the best form of activity because it is high impact. But I like to be able to do everything. I hate the idea of not being able to do something. And even with my knee injury, I've found ways to be able to still run, albeit with a knee brace, but I can still run. And I do think that it's something that can be enjoyed, and a lot of people don't understand how to enjoy it. So I'm going to start off with what to wear, because that does make a difference. You do not need all the high tech gear. You do not need the fancy Oakley sunglasses. You do not need a whole Lululemon outfit, although I do like that and it does make you feel good. But the one thing, if you're going to invest in one thing for running, I would really say your shoes. It makes a massive difference. When I started, I was wearing, I think they were running shoes, but I'd literally had them for about 4 or 5 years. And they just felt rubbish. Like the whole time, I felt like I had to keep adjusting my foot inside of it, inside the shoe. They didn't feel like they were staying on properly. They didn't feel like they were giving me much support. So I thought, okay, let's get some proper shoes. They'll probably feel a bit better, but how much difference can they make? I bought some proper new running shoes and I couldn't believe it. Like I literally felt like I was flying and it was just so much more comfortable. I wasn't getting kind of the same discomfort that I was getting when I was wearing the crap shoes. So I think we really underestimate how much proper running shoes make a big difference. And there are different types to have as well. Like we all have naturally different gaits and like foot positionings, if that makes sense, but you know what I mean? Like the shape of our feet, where we carry most of our weight, where you land on your foot, it's going to be different for everyone. So there may be a pair of shoes that your best friend absolutely swears by and loves to run in, but for you, they might not feel great and you may prefer something else. So if you can, something I learned from one of my very good friends, go to a running shop, kind of, you can get them to watch you run or at least walk in the shoes, and they'll be able to give you some advice as well on, you know, what works better for you. You can also get different shoes depending on what kind of running you're doing. So some people prefer certain brands or certain styles of shoe for faster tempo runs and different ones for longer, slower pace runs. But I'd say if you're starting out, you just want a bit of an all-rounder, and there are many different options for that, but you just want a proper shoe and you want one that fits. So again, if you go to a proper running shop, then they will tell you this, but you normally need to have it a little bit bigger than your normal shoe size, because when you're running, especially if you're running for like a relatively long distance, probably feet are going to swell up a little bit. So if they're already pretty tight to begin with, that's not going to feel great. So just little things like that that you might not know if you are brand new to running, they can tell you and just make sure that your shoes are right. Because you don't want to spend a decent amount of money on proper shoes that actually just aren't really the right shoes for you. So it's always worth that bit of extra effort going actually into a shop and getting some help with that. If you want to know which shoes I run in, they are the Saucony Endorphin Speed 3s. I love them, but again, it might not be the right shoe for you. So it's just worth checking them out. So that's the first thing. You can buy things as well, like running vests and whatever, but honestly, I don't think that you really need it. Same thing with water. Like if you're going, I would say probably less than 10Ks, you probably don't need to be carrying water or gels or anything like that with you. So don't overdo it. You know, as long as you've got somewhere that you can put your keys. I normally have my keys in my little, I've got like a zip up pocket on most of the stuff that I wear from Lululemon. And then I don't carry water with me and I just have my phone in my hand. Like that's enough for me, at least for shorter distances. As time goes on, you probably find that you want to buy more stuff, but this podcast is all about starting running. So the only thing you really, really need to buy is a pair of running shoes. And if you don't have any kind of workout clothes that you feel comfortable in, then obviously something like that as well. But it doesn't need to be something expensive. In terms of what to use to track it, this is completely up to you. So there are so many different apps and everything, and it really depends on what your purpose is. If you have a specific goal, like I want to run a 5K, or I want to get this time, or you just want to have that kind of numerical tracker of your progress with your running, then it is worth tracking things. So for example, I use the app Strava just because I really like it. I like the little maps that it comes up with. I think it's cute and it's been pretty accurate for me, whereas I found that when I was using my Apple Watch, it wasn't that accurate in terms of pace and distance. So I like Strava. Quite a lot of my clients use the Nike app. I think it's like Nike Free Run or something along those lines. Or again, if you've got a watch like a Garmin or an Apple Watch, you could use those. So it's not like a right or a wrong. I would just make sure that you're tracking your runs consistently. So I would not be tracking one of my runs on Strava and then one on the Nike app and then one on my watch, because there are going to be slight differences between them and it's not going to be a very accurate comparison. So pick how you're going to track it and then just track it on that consistently. However, if you're just wanting to run and you literally don't care how far you're going, you don't care about measuring the progress, then you don't need to track it at all. I think sometimes people can fall into the habit of comparing their pace or comparing the distance to other people's that they've posted online. But really, it's not about that. It's not about the comparison. It's the same thing with running slowly, which I'll come on to in a second. But you might see someone's pace and think, oh, I can't go as fast as them. But actually, they may have got more out of that run if they actually went a little bit slower, which right now probably sounds a little bit weird, but I will explain that in a minute. So there's absolutely no need for you to compare your pacing, your distance to anyone else, because you don't know what the purpose of their session was. They might have been going for a speed run, or they might have been going for an easy pace run, or you might be doing those things vice versa. So it just literally doesn't matter. So, you know, if you do feel like you get caught up on comparing things, then you know, don't follow anyone on the apps, whatever app you're using, or, you know, if you see someone's posting about theirs, just try not to look at it, because it's not going to be helpful for you. No one else is doing it for you. You're the only person that's like running for yourself. You're the only one that's actually in control of your body. So you need to make sure that you're actually running an appropriate pace and distance for you. So coming on to the running slowly, this was the thing that I think really changed running for me, because again, when I had memories of running, it's like cross-country races in school, races at sports day around the track. It was never fun, because it was always like from the second you go, you're panting, you can't breathe, you're racing everyone's ego is on the line, because you don't want to be that person that's behind your friends. So the only really memory that I had of running from school, and also from when I used to row, was like going out hard because you didn't want to be the last one, you know. So for that often isn't very fun. If we're sitting in a really high heart rate zone, like zone 4, maybe even zone 5, you just feel like you're about to go into cardiac arrest for the whole time. How is that going to be fun for anyone? It's literally not. So I understand why most people dread running, but it shouldn't actually feel that way. Maybe if you're racing, maybe if you're doing a hard run, then it's okay for it to feel like that. But if you're just training most of the time, your runs should not be like that. The majority of your runs should be what we call easy pace runs. So by that, I mean they're mostly in heart rate zone 2. So what I'm meaning by that is that you should, in theory, be able to breathe in and out throughout your nose. So you're not even really having to open your mouth. Also, you should be able to hold a conversation whilst you're running. So if you're running next to your friend, you should be able to say full sentences without being like, hi, you know, like completely out of breath. So a lot of people, if you have just started running, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't run very far, it's really, really hard. Test that out, because if you can't do those things, you are going too fast. And you may think, well, if I go any slower, I'm going to be basically walking. That does not matter. You can run at a pace that's literally equivalent to someone's fast walk. That's not wrong. If you are meant to be running it at an easy pace, and that's your easy pace, there's no such thing as too slow. And you will get more out of that than if you are panting and puffing for the whole time. There's a time and a place for speed runs, but as I said before, the majority of your training should actually be these easy runs where you can breathe in and out through your nose, you can have a chat at the same time. And if you think about how that heart rate feels, it's kind of like the same to, let's say you went in the gym and you're sitting on a bike or you're sitting on the elliptical and you're just kind of messing around, really, like you're half-assing it, you're not really pushing, you are technically doing exercise, your heart rate's up slightly, but you can sit there and chat to someone. That's how the run should feel. So if you have, for example, like 20 minutes of that feeling, that is a hell of a lot more bearable than being wheezing and out of breath and feeling like you're going to die for 20 minutes. And it suddenly becomes a lot more doable. And so many people, once they realize how much they can really slow down their running and that that's not a bad thing at all, suddenly it's like, oh, wait, I can actually run way further than I thought. Like, I'll give you an example. One of my clients, she told me, she was like, I can't even run 100 meters, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't believe you, because she's pretty fit. You know, we train 4 times a week together in the gym. So although we don't do much cardio stuff, she is not unfit, you know. I can't run 100 meters, blah, 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 blah. We've been running for a couple of weeks and I really forced her to slow it down. So I chose her pace. I've chosen how far we've gone. And within a couple of weeks, she already ran 2K and she could have kept going realistically. So did we massively increase her fitness in those 4-ish, maybe 5 weeks? Maybe a little bit, but not that much, you know. So she really just had to understand that she needed to approach the running in a different way. And then we went on a run together and we were just chatting for the whole time. And it's like, oh, wow, that's 2Ks done. Yes, because you're not dying for the whole time. So that's something that's really, really important. And one of the reasons why I'm saying you actually get more out of it if you're going slower as well is because in that kind of zone 2 easy pace cardio, we are helping to build our aerobic capacity, which basically is what's going to help us to essentially run faster in other runs. So I know it sounds weird, but it's one of those things where you actually need to go slower so that you can go faster. And as you get a bit more advanced with running, you can implement speed work, you can implement intervals where you're spending maybe like, I don't know, 90 seconds going at a hard pace and then 60 seconds going at a recovery pace. You can do things like that, but the majority of your runs should feel easy, because you will then find that naturally over time your pace probably gets faster, but it's no harder. So let's say you're starting off and your pace is like 7:30 for like per kilometer. You may find that if you keep on with those slow runs, you keep on breathing in and out through the nose, just consistent with it, and you keep it slow, then within a matter of time, when you're then running, you may find it the same difficulty as you were previously finding 7:30 Ks, but you may find that feels exactly the same when you're doing like 6:30 Ks. So you're going faster, but actually it's no harder than it was for you before. So now your easy pace is 6:30 rather than 7:30. But that's something that takes time, and you're only going to get faster by doing those slow runs. So if you just go all out every single time, you're probably not going to be able to increase your distance very much, probably not actually going to be able to increase your ability to keep going at a faster pace for longer very much either, and you're probably not going to enjoy it. So when you kind of understand all of that, it's like, well, why would I go all out really, really hard on these, all of these runs, when actually it doesn't benefit me very much, and also it's not going to be fun. Like, there's way better ways to do it. So understanding that can just mean that you can drop the ego and understand it's not wrong to go slow. It's actually going to help you out. And then it becomes way more enjoyable. So running slow, I think, really is the biggest thing for most people. Don't think of it as running. Think of it almost like a fast walk, where you're kind of bouncing up and down a bit at the beginning, and then you can slowly increase the pace. Another thing that I would say is important when you're starting out with running is making sure your form is good. We talk about form all the time in terms of resistance training. So like, make sure your deadlift form is good, because if it's bad, what do we know happens? Well, a couple of things. We could get injured potentially. We are not making the most of the exercise because we're not necessarily recruiting the right muscles, and we're probably not going to be able to perform as well as we could do otherwise. So if your deadlift form is a bit off, you're probably not going to be able to lift as heavy as if you had perfect form. It's exactly the same thing for running. If your running form is off, you're probably more likely to at some point end up injuring yourself. You're probably not going to be able to run as quickly as you would like to run. You're probably going to end up maybe creating some imbalances or not recruiting all of the muscles that we want to, which then again might lead to injury or just cause you problems in future. So in the same way that we do reps in the gym, and the more reps you do, the more that becomes muscle memory, it's exactly the same for running. So if you're starting out, realistically, you don't have that much muscle memory. Your body's kind of like, oh, kind of remember how to run from when I'm a kid, but not really. So you kind of got a clean slate. Whereas if you start running and you do a couple of months of running with absolutely god-awful form, and you don't make any effort to correct that, then it's going to be a lot harder to correct later down the line, because that becomes second nature. So what people need to adjust for their running form is obviously going to differ from person to person. Some of the main mistakes people make at the beginning are overstriding. So what I mean by that is like really taking big, big steps. So when you land, when you're running, your feet should land underneath your torso. So if you video yourself, even if you jump, like one way you can test your form is either getting someone else to run next to you or video yourself whilst you're on the treadmill. If when your foot is landing on the treadmill, if it's in front of your torso, you're overstriding. You should be landing just underneath your body. And what that probably means is that you're going to have a faster cadence than someone else who, who might have a slightly different stride to you. So you probably need to, by cadence, I just mean you need to probably have your feet moving faster than you think. So instead of like, even if you're going slow, instead of kind of like step, 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 you actually might need it as step, 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 but you're just not reaching out so far. Because if you do start overstriding, again, this is where sometimes we can start to have discomfort in places that we shouldn't. We may end up heel striking a bit, which basically means just like smacking down on your heels rather than landing actually on the main part of your foot. You may, just find that that's uncomfortable. You may find you start to get shin splints, etc. So it's really important to make sure that you sort that out to begin with. I think something else that people often do when they start running or they don't feel comfortable with it is tensing up, right? You're thinking, oh my God, I'm going for a run, big panic. And everything gets really, really tense, especially in the upper body. You need to relax, keep the upper body nice and relaxed, keep the shoulders down, keep the arms nice and loose. That's another big thing that you need to be aware of, because without realizing it, you're probably really, really tensing up. There are so many other things that you can look at as well, but I think if you can at least start with that, and if there are any kind of warning signs, for example, every time I'm running, I'm getting shin splints. If there's a sign that something's probably not quite right, sort that out straight away. Yes, it's boring to try and sort out your form and figure out what's wrong, but again, much, much easier to do that at the beginning than after you've already been running for a couple of months. So get that form sorted right from the beginning so that your running can be as successful as it can. You'll really, really thank yourself later, because easier said than done. And then as time goes on, I think variety is another important thing in terms of keeping the interest. If all you do all the time is run 5K three times a week, every single week, you're probably going to get sick of it. So it's good to have that, once you've been going for a while, that variation of, we've got our easy pace runs, we're changing up the distance of our easy pace runs depending on the goals. We maybe have some interval runs in there. Sometimes we might have some sprints. There's a lot that you can do with running to keep it interesting. So it's not about it being random. You still want things to be strategic, which is why it's important to know what your goal is. Like if you are training for a half marathon, your running should look slightly different, or pretty different, to someone that's training to do some kind of race with sprints in, or someone that's just learning how to do their 5K. It's all going to look different. So there's not one perfect way to split up your runs, the same way that there's not one perfect training split to do in terms of like full body or upper lower. It just depends what fits with your goals and what fits with your schedule. You can also look at your recovery too. I think it's tempting when you're starting something new to be like, I'm going to do this every single day. But if you have gone from no running to running every single day, it's just dumb. Like, it really is dumb. It's asking for injury. Your performance isn't going to be so good. There really is no reason why someone has to run every single day, unless maybe you're a professional athlete and that's literally your job and that's literally what you're training for, or it's part of your sport. There is no reason why amateur runners need to run every day, and actually your running will be way better if you can actually rest and recover. So that's another massive thing. The last tip that I want to say, and I think I will do more podcasts about running, because in case you can tell, it's a passion of mine at the moment and I don't want to make this podcast too long, but the last thing I'll just say is fueling yourself properly. I think it's getting better now, but particularly in the past, there's a lot of association of like running with burning off calories, getting skinny, that's the goal. But like any sport, if you do not fuel yourself properly, not only are you again putting yourself at more risk of injury and then not being able to do it at all, your performance is just not going to be good. You need to fuel yourself so that you can run well, so that you do have the stamina, so that you do have the energy, so that you can actually recover. If you do a big run and then you're not really eating properly for a couple of days after, the next ones are going to be crap, and you're just going to feel like your legs are heavy, you're just going to feel like you don't have the energy for it, and then something that could be enjoyable becomes pretty unenjoyable. So I think that's the last initial thing for you to think about. Make sure that you are fueling yourself. So different things work for different people. Obviously, it's a bit dumb and not going to feel very nice to have a massive meal just before you leave the house to go on a run. You're probably going to feel like you get stitched. You're probably going to feel like you want to throw it up. That's not what we want. But maybe let's say you plan on going for a run at like 11 a.m. Maybe if you get up at 7, you can have a big proper breakfast. And then maybe an hour or so before your run, you can have something small like a banana, like a little snack, and then you can eat properly after your run. That would be much better than just not eating all morning or not eating after your run. And I think it's also important to not panic if you have just suddenly started running and you're suddenly getting more hungry. It's worth being aware of that because it's very common. I see it a lot, particularly in people that are training for marathons, where the running volume suddenly really, really increases. They get very hungry. And as much as you would think, wow, if you're doing all that running, you probably would become leaner, more often than not, because performance is the focus and we kind of prioritize making sure we're actually fueling ourselves properly. More often than not, people actually end up gaining fat whilst training for something like that rather than losing it if it's the first time that they've done it. So it's the same thing with even just beginning to run. You may find that you are suddenly more hungry than you normally are. That's okay. It's important to listen to that, but you can also make sensible decisions on what you eat. Let's say you're really hungry. If you have kind of like another mini meal, so a bit of protein, a bit of complex carbs, a bit of fats, and like a mini chili con carne with a bit of avocado and rice, then that's actually probably going to fill you up. It's probably going to fuel your recovery and give you some more energy moving forwards. If you go, oh, I did a massive run today and now I'm really hungry, and all you do is smash a share bag of chocolate, you're probably still going to be hungry after that, probably end up eating more and more and more, probably going to take you quite significantly over where your maintenance calories are. So it's just about making sensible decisions, not ignoring the hunger, because we need to fuel the runs and fuel the recovery, but also just kind of making sensible choices with what you eat when you are experiencing that hunger. So those are my initial tips for beginning running. But I really think, the main thing of all of those, they're all important, but running slow is actually what has changed the game for me. So give it a go. If you don't want to do it on your own, like try grabbing a friend. You can run for like a minute, you can walk for a minute, and just slowly build it up with time. But it's something that can be really, really enjoyable, especially if you're doing it outside. You just got to know how to go about it.